Sleep and go well. Amen. Sleeping well is good. For me, it's a meh morning. Before we start, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful, God Almighty, for today. Grateful, God Almighty, for the singing. Grateful, God Almighty, for everyone who could be here. Grateful, God Almighty, for those who couldn't come. God, a lot of times, you know, I feel spiritually great, but now I don't. I feel down. I feel disconnected. I feel weak. But God, I pray you help my heart. And as I speak to your children this morning, that I will say your words and not mine. Help me, God Almighty, to stand strong and to say what needs to be said. And I pray that you will use your words to transform the life of your children. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the communion we have later. I pray that everything brings glory and honor to your holy name. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, for me this morning, it was an emotional morning. It's been an emotional week, but it was an emotional weekend for me and my family. And it's funny how today I'm going to talk about a thankful heart. So a thankful heart. You know, my father's name is broken down into two parts. And it means the father gets glory. That's the meaning of my father's name. And I was listening to a song this week, and I've been listening to the song also when I go to work. And the song says, give glory to God. Because God has mercy on us. And because God has saved us. Because the word the writer of the song used to explain who God is, in my language it says, which means, among all spirits and beings, he's the eldest, or he's the oldest, or he's the first. And I gotta ask a question this morning. How grateful are you this morning? For me, I'm not very grateful. Amen. But how grateful are you in your heart this morning? Do you have anything to be grateful for? Are you conscious of the fact that you have things to be grateful for? For me, I'm not very grateful this morning. Amen. Me and my wife were talking because it's the train this morning. And as we were talking, you know, my wife was crying about something that she was sharing deep. And then I wasn't grateful. We were just crying together. Because we're going through our own personal battles. But how grateful are you this morning? How's your heart? Is your heart full of thanks? Or are you complacent? Amen? Is your heart full of thanks? Or are you complacent? Let's turn to our first scripture today. Psalm 107 verse 1. The entirety of what I'm going to say today rests on this scripture. Psalm 107 verse 1. Psalm. So the Psalms. In Psalm 107 verse 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." How grateful is your heart this morning, church? It's okay if you're complacent. So complacent means... complacent means nothing new. Complacent means nothing special. How is your heart regarding Thanksgiving this morning, church? You know, a lot of times we are more thankful. So back home as a culture, in December, everyone starts to think about the whole year. And then you start asking yourself, what has God done for you? And then you do like an audit of the whole year. Sometimes it doesn't have to be the end of the year for us to have a mind of thanksgiving. Amen? So the question is, once again, how thankful are you? Now David always, he says in Psalm 9 verse 1, he says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds." So thanks comes from the heart, right? Amen? Thanks comes from the heart. And I want to ask this question this morning. How thankful is your heart? For me, I'm not very thankful. Amen? Life is changing. There is a saying that goes, difficult times breed strong men. Soft times bring and bruise weak men or weak people. And we can get complacent, right? With our life. Complacent with work. Complacent with family. And because of that, we can have a heart that is grateful. My first point. Give thanks in songs. One of the things that affects my singing and my worship to God is my heart. If my heart isn't right, if my heart is complacent, then my offering, my sacrifice, and my singing to God is also complacent. So 1 Samuel 6. If my heart isn't right, my singing isn't right. My worship isn't right. Amen? A thankful heart brings forth a thankful worship. Amen, church? A thankful heart brings a thankful worship. But if our hearts are not in a space of thanks, our singing is not in a space of thanks. And in 1 Samuel 6, we read verse 12. 1 Samuel? No, 2 Samuel. 2
Samuel?
Yes, correct. Slide. Oh, 2 Samuel 6, Ari verse 12. Says, "Now King David was told," so before this time, the Ark of the Covenant, Uzzah had touched the Ark, because the Ark was about to fall, and one of David's men went to try to hold the Ark, and he wasn't a Levite, and he wasn't consecrated, as the law of Moses said, and he died on the spot. And David had to go put the ark in Obed-Edom's house. And then David hears now that the Lord is blessing Obed-Edom, where the ark is. So he went to put it in Obed-Edom's cellar or garage. It says, "Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom, everything he has, because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. It says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed the bull and the fattened calf. with a little effort, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw the king and David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Amen. There is this assumption. The singing and rejoicing is a cultural thing. It's not. Amen. Because, for example, if you go back home in Nigeria, and there's a lot of singing, amen? With drums, pianos, guitars. If I took everyone in this local church to worship in Lagos, I don't know about now, but back in the days, the music was fire and so, you know, exciting. If you stood still like this, someone's going to come and meet you and be like, "Are you okay? Is everything good with you?" And then you say yes. Okay, great. Then why are you not dancing? Rejoicing and dancing to God is not a cultural thing, church. Amen? It's a perspective and it's a heart. Amen? Sometimes we see when you're not in the mood and someone else is dancing and singing and you're like, what's making this person so happy? You know, you could be like, why are you so motivated, you know? Singing in thanks comes from the heart. And if our heart is not right, and when we come to church, our singing is not going to be right. Amen? And I'm not saying this because I come to church every time and my singing is like, yay. You know? Because a lot of times my heart isn't right. The question always is for me, are we always conscious of who we are singing to? Because sometimes we forget, I forget. Then it just becomes lyrics. It becomes word. It loses its power. You know? You can sing the same song with a different perspective, and it will sound different. So how's your heart? The hardest point for me today is this one. In difficulty, give thanks. This is the hardest teaching, one of the hardest teaching for me in the Bible. Because me and my family, we're going through our own right now. You know, we're going through some difficult times. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 to 20. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 to 20, Paul says, pray continually. It says, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The most difficult thing in life for you to do is to go on your knees and say, God, thank you for this difficult time. It's hard. It's tough. It's easy to complain. It's easy to cry. And it's okay to cry. But what is more difficult is to say, God, thank you that I'm going through this difficult time. Because I know that it's going to bring glory to your name. We all will go through our difficulties. Amen? Some with work. Some with family. Some with life, some with kids. But the difficult part is to give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? It is a mentality shift. It is a heart change. It is a perspective that I trust God, even though times are tough. And I must tell you, I must confess this morning, that's not where my heart is. You know, sometimes I'm asking God, why? Why is life like this? Why can't it be better? You know, sometimes I'm saying, God, I want to see my wife very happy and smiling every time. It's difficult. It's difficult to say, God, thank you, when things are rough. Amen? And we see that in Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23. In Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23, by this time, Babylon had come and they had sacked Jerusalem. Right? And Jeremiah had told them, repent, change. This is what's going to happen. And then Jeremiah is getting depressed. Jeremiah is getting down. And Jeremiah says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When Jeremiah says this in this scripture, Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23. When Jeremiah says this in the scripture, were the Israelites having everything good? No. Amen? Was everything fine in Israel? No. They had been taken as slaves, as prisoners of war. And Jeremiah says, great is your faithfulness. That is a mentality and a heart change towards God. I'm praying for my heart to change. To have the perspective that God, times are difficult, but I trust you. Because I know that your love will never fail. God, I trust you. Because you, O God Almighty, see the desires of my heart. It's difficult. But it is a mentality shift. Amen? And I want to have that heart. The heart that gives glory and thanks to God in difficult times. Because I assure everyone in this room, we all will have it. Difficulty is coming. It will still come. You know, there was a late teacher in a secondary school during my father's time. And my father used to tell me that the principal would come to the hall, the morning assembly, and he would say, may your days be rough. And everybody would be like, no, God forbid. May your days be rough. No, it's not going to happen to me. But the times promised are difficult times, and that's the reality. There will always be difficulty. There will always be a time when you will check and you don't have enough. There will always be a time when you look at your home and there's no peace. There will always be a time when your team lead or your colleagues at work are frustrating you. It will always come. But we need to have a mentality shift towards these things and say, God, I thank you for this time. Amen? How then do we give thanks? We know that the problem of our thanksgiving is in our hearts. Amen? You know, in general, we're comfortable. Amen? We're comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you forget the little things that matter. When you're comfortable, you forget that if you could be sick and go to the hospital, and the doctors, God has blessed them with the wisdom and they can give you medicine, and you take it and you become fine. You become complacent. When you lose your job and the government says, don't worry, I have a way for me to help you, you become complacent. You then forget. If, for example, you've worked in a place for 12 years, 15 years, you forget how difficult it is to get a job. Complacency, brothers and sisters, is the main reason why we don't give thanks. Complacency means nothing is new, nothing is fresh. We just take things for granted. And sometimes, a lot of times, I'm like that. You're working, for example, I spoke to a classmate of mine two weeks ago or something. And he still doesn't have a job. And he's been applying for jobs. We started school together, and he still doesn't have a job currently. And he has more experience than I have. He's older than me. Until you don't have, you do not appreciate the fact that God has blessed you with what you have. Amen? And so it is a mentality shift about Thanksgiving. So why don't we give thanks? It's a question I kept on asking myself this whole weekend. So I meditated on this. Why don't we give thanks? Do you know why, church? It's because sometimes when we pray for things, we're short-sighted people. Amen? We're short-sighted people. And I'm short-sighted. So near-sighted in that context would mean I'm not looking at God from my past, and God, based on my past, this is the God for sure in the future. Short-sighted means God has done so many great things for me. But because of what I'm going through right now, and it's tough, I've forgotten everything that God has done, but I'm fixated on only what is happening today. Brothers and sisters, for you to understand who God is, you gotta look to your life in the past. Amen? For you to understand who your God is, you gotta sit down and say, where am I coming from? And how did I get here? Let's turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. I'm going to read the whole psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. I love this psalm. Amen? I love this psalm. Psalm 77 by Asaph. So, Ziba knows it. Psalms 77. Ziba knows it. We're reading the whole psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remember you, God, and I groaned. I meditated. My spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remember songs in the night. My heart meditated. My spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? His unfailing love vanquished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I would appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and they rippled. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured out water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was hurled. It was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen, church. This brother is praying to God. And he's crying. And he's meditating. And he's groaning, God, please help us. And God is not listening. So it seems. Amen. It looks like God is not listening. But He says, hey, you know what? I'm going to remember God what you've done. I'm going to remember God your CV. Amen? So when you talk about CV at work, the curriculum detail, the leader's life. And from the CV, from Boris' CV, I know what Boris does. Amen? From my CV, you know what I do. From Igoche's CV, you know what he does. Are we looking at God's CV? There's a song in Nigeria that says, he has promised he will never fail. Because he has promised he will never fail, I have to follow him. You know, sometimes we're like our forefathers. We're like the Israelites in the wilderness. Amen? Sometimes we're like the Israelites in the wilderness. God took them through the Red Sea. And while they were in the wilderness, they forgot who God is. I can tell you for a fact that in my house, I am like the Israelites in the wilderness. Because sometimes I forget what God has done. All because I'm fixated on what he has not done yet. Amen? And that puts me in a space where my heart isn't grateful to God. And then I become complacent of the good things he has done. And all I'm focusing on is what he has not done yet. Sometimes we're solution-oriented people. And that's why we don't give thanks. So because I did something by myself. Amen. I did it by myself. Because I went to work and I put in all the effort, I get paid. Amen. I did it by myself. Sometimes we are solution-oriented people. But remember, in Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, the Bible says it is God that gives us the ability to make wealth. It says everything you have, Paul says in the Paul that says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. So meaning everything we have, both for the people who do not recognize God and for the people who recognize God, everything we have comes from him. And therefore, every thanks should go to him. When we discover how to make medicine, when we discover how to make life easier, all praise needs to go back to God. Amen? Sometimes church pride makes us not give thanks. I've done everything by myself. I read and I passed. I got a 1.0. I'm brilliant. Everything is by myself. And sometimes it's not even loud pride. Sometimes it's just in your heart, but no one sees it. In Romans 1 verse 21, Paul addresses the church in Rome. In Romans 1 verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. How often do you say, God, thank you for giving me the wisdom to be able to work? God, thank you for giving me the peace in my home. God, thank you for giving me mental stability. Remember, James says in James 4 verse 6 that God opposes the proud. Amen? So how grateful are you as I round up? We can be grateful to God with poems. Amen? You can get a book and write a poem. Just the way David did, right? David wrote a lot of songs. That's why they have psalms. So you can write a poem. God, I'm thankful. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be, I don't know, who the best, you don't have to be Shakespeare. Just write how you feel. Amen? We can give thanks to God by singing. Amen. Not singing, but singing. Amen. You can give thanks to God by your singing, not singing. Amen. You can give thanks to God through prayers. Amen. You can give thanks to God through prayers. We can give thanks to God by sharing with other people the good things that God has done for us. Amen. Are you sharing with people about the good times? Not about the rough times. Amen. Man, God right now, I don't feel God right now. Amen. But share about the time when you felt God. It will lift your spirit. You know? I hope our wife is also encouraged. You know? But how grateful are we? How grateful are you about Jesus? How? Are you grateful? When you take the communion, where's your heart? Where's your mind? Are you saying, Jesus, thank you? Because only through you I have direct access to God. You know, in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, the Bible says we have a high priest that understands us because he has gone through what we've gone through. And when you see the writer of Hebrew, what he does is he explains before, when the priest was in Jerusalem, and you would go and give a calf for them to slaughter, you weren't sure 100% that God had heard you. Because you think, maybe, for example, this priest, the priest is unholy, or we see a priest that is in sin, or is eating the food that he shouldn't eat based on the law. You will feel like, man, with this man sin, why do you think the sacrifice will go to God? But with Jesus, you're convinced, you are sure, because we have a holy priest, one who was blameless. We're convinced that when we pray and we call on the name of Jesus, that God will hear us from heaven. So are we grateful to God for Jesus Christ? Church, we need to have a perspective change. Amen? We need to have a mentality change. Our hearts need to have a change. Our hearts need to be a grateful heart. My heart especially has to be a grateful heart. Because man, I was going to come to church, I'm like, I mentally don't want to sing or talk. That's how down I am, man. And I ask myself, where's my heart? It's okay to take a break, but where's my heart? Am I focusing on what God has done? Man, if you look at me from, I don't know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you'd be like, wow, God has done a lot. So much for me and my family. So much. There's so much that I can be thankful for. If I start, we would need to have lunch and dinner. That's how God has been with me. And I feel like I don't appreciate him. You know? I feel he's disappointed sometimes. That I am afraid when times are difficult. And I'm not being hard on myself, but if I was a father and I've shown up for my child every time, and my child becomes scared when I say, don't worry, I'm with you. I'm gonna feel disappointed as a father. You don't trust me? It'll be fine. So sometimes I feel God is disappointed because I've forgotten who he is. And the honesty about it, he has not blessed me because I've been the most righteous being. He has only had his favor on me because he chooses to. Because sometimes you feel like maybe it's because something I've done wrong. That's why I don't feel God right now. So I'm going to end with a prayer from 1 Corinthians 29. This is one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. And I implore you to read the prayer again. 1 Corinthians 29. One of the greatest prayers in the Bible. 1 Corinthians, yes. What? Chronicles. The Chronicles of the Kings. Chronicles. What's the correct pronunciation? Chronicles. Chronic sounds like an ailment, like a disease, like chronic, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, 1 Chronicles 29. Just give me 1 second. Chronicles. Yeah. And we're going to read from 10. All right. David's prayer. I want us to listen to how David prays to God. Amen. And I pray that it gives you inspiration how your prayer should be like. David says, praise the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. And then David goes forth in humility here. But who am I? And who are my people? Who am I? Who is my wife? Who is the church that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. We have not given you only what, we have only given you only what comes up from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for the building, you a temple for your holy name, comes from your hands, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All things I have given willingly and with an honest intent. And from now, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. Amen. And he goes forward to pray for Solomon. What a humble prayer. Amen? What a humble heart. Just look at his whole... I don't know how rich David was, amen? But we saw later Solomon became very wealthy. And it was a product of what David had done. He has all these things and he says, everything I have, God, is from you. That's a thankful heart. And what we notice in that scripture is that David talks about what the most? The heart. Right? David says, test my heart so that you can be pleased with my integrity. Because you can come and sing and be happy and your heart is not integral to God. You can sing and not be happy, but your heart is integral to God. Amen, church? Everything is about the heart. Pray for your heart. Call God and say, God, please transform my heart. The change you need in your heart is a spiritual change. It's a sustainable change. It's not a physical change. Pray to God for your heart. If you are angry a lot, pray to God for your heart. If you're sad a lot, pray to God for your heart. If you don't give a lot and you feel like I should do more, pray to God for your heart. Because out of it flows the wellspring of life, amen? So at the end, I hope that the few words I've said, all the many words, puts us in a perspective that we need to have a thankful heart, amen? In our homes, in church. I want to do that, brothers and sisters. I'm not there, amen? I didn't wake up with a thankful heart, amen? It's difficult sometimes. You know, but I want us to trust God. I don't know what it is, like, you know, but have a, even if you're comfortable, amen, still have a grateful heart. Amen? And I pray that God, who has heard us from heaven, will transform our hearts. You know, that we, when we pray next time, we will feel that God feels our integrity, our sincerity, our openness, and nothing is hidden. And I pray this, and to God be the glory. Amen. Thank you.